I think it's John 11:25, if my memory serves me right. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I think it's John 11:25. If it's not, I know Jesus said it. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I want to talk to us today in our Word 101 about the resurrection. The resurrection. Word 101. Last week we covered worship 101, what that entailed. Then we looked at what was 101. What is 101? It's the basic standard requirements of any subject you learn. It was found in a Buffalo University. It was first used in the Buffalo University in 1929, advertising its curriculum and in its catalogue, and it's been used ever since. And, you know, this week I attended a funeral in Glasgow, and to a man called John Donald. I've never met that. Well, sorry, I've met the guy once, but it's a relative on my wife's side. So we were up in Scotland, and we're at the crematorium. And the thing that struck me about the crematorium, or the, we'll call it the funeral, was that the minister did a textbook, what I call a textbook funeral. When there's nothing of God to impart, we do everything else to make it look clean, and we tie off all the edges. And because if the minister hasn't got anything to say about God, the family wasn't Christian, there's nothing to say other than just to talk about the attributes of the person who's passed. And that's what he did, and he did it quite well. But the thing I couldn't help but notice is that no help, no hope was offered to the people, the grievers, about the afterlife. No hope or no help was offered to the people about the now life. Amen? And, you know, the man is gone. He's now passed. But yet, we who remain, there's a message for us, for who remain. Because he can be a warning or he can be a hope. Depending on who the he is, or the she, or they. And he got me thinking. As I do. It got me thinking because the brain never switches off. I was listening to a very bad piper. They had a piper at this funeral and he was horrendous. Horrendous. Talk about every flat note, every bum note, he hit it. And I'm thinking, quit, mate, quit. This is not the only funeral taking place. And the piper's supposed to be a stirred and arousing instrument, but this fellow was dying on his feet. And I thought, you need help, fellow, you need help. Pick up the guitar. But anyway, the one thing I couldn't help but thinking is when the curtains were closing. And here's what I want to start with today. Do you know that there is a resurrection for both the dead and the living? Both will be resurrected. The guy who's died has not got away with it. There's a resurrection for the dead and for the living. There is. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So I've been reading in my time with God, 1 and 2, the books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the books that is, not chapters. I've been reading this for quite a while now. And I've been really richly fed. I have discovered that heaven's kitchen is open. And God serves 24/7 to the hungry, to the thirsty, to those who seek him and want to know more of him. The heaven's kitchen is open to all of us. You only have to but ask. You only have to but look. You only have to but dig and search. Seek and you will. Right. So as you open up the scriptures will open up to you. And as you read the scriptures will begin to read you. And I have found that in one of these Corinthians, I've read it and I've read it and I've reread it because I'm enjoying it so much I go back to the beginning again. Right now for me, there's only these two books that exist because I'm being fed from these books so much. And I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and I was so inspired and so challenged. And when I went to the funeral, I really knew as I was reading it this week that this is the message I need to speak today. So, you know, for your reference, for your eyes only, 1 Corinthians 15 is my reference point, but I'm going to use a lot of other scriptures today. Okay? So you might need to get your coloring pencils out, because I have a lot of scriptures to read, because this word is important. When we think of 101, we're looking at those basics. The basics we need. And it's such a basic, but it's a powerful basic that we must never forget. The power of the resurrection. Now, if I mention words like Mohammed, Confucius, Buddha, and or I mention a Joseph Smith, and I put a Jesus in there, they all share a commonality. And that commonality is they've all lived on planet Earth. All of them have at some point lived on planet Earth. But only Jesus declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus declared himself that I am the resurrection and the life. Not that I'm hoping to be. I might be. I am the resurrection and the life. And now when he says that, he's speaking it to us who believe in him. I am your resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am your resurrection. And I am the life. Your life, I am the life, and your life. Amen. Amen? So we really need to grab hold of the power of resurrection, because everything flows from the resurrection. Everything. I don't know if you know, when they came to the grave, he was not there. But you go to the grave of Confucius, Buddha, he's a lot slimmer now. Mohammed, those guys never died for your sin. Only Jesus did. So it's quite a significant statement for a person to claim, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man can come to the Father unless. These are the terms and conditions. See, Jesus is not a pantheism God. He didn't say all ways lead to the Father. He says, I'm the way. You're not getting through the back door. You're not getting in through someone praying a prayer when you're in purgatory. I'm the way. And there's only one way in, and it's through me. This is our gospel. Now, you see, that creates such a stink. Because in our world, everybody likes to go their own way and hoping that at the end they'll just fall into heaven. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Well, how dare. I remember once being at work and talking to the Catholics was the hardest thing. The Catholics nearly lynched me one day at work. He said, do you think the Pope saved? I said, not a chance. No, that was the Pope at that time. And I said, there's more error in that thing than you can poke a stick at. Oh, they almost killed me. They were the days when I weren't as wise. So today we need to address Resurrection 101. It's our launching point. It's our basic fundamental. And when I say basic, I do not mean to undo its power. I do not mean to weaken it, saying, oh, it's basic. No, no, no. It is the launching point for everything that Scripture declares. So when I say basic, I mean it's the launch point. Without the resurrection, Scripture does have no substance. And you must know this. You must be convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. You must be convinced. Because that's the basis of your faith. Amen? Amen. Now, Paul made it very clear. Now, when you read Scripture and you read apostolic doctrine, and many of you don't know when you're reading apostolic doctrine, you just read your Bible. Well, when you read letters from Paul, when you read letters from Peter, and you read letters from John, right, you know you're talking, you're listening and reading apostles. It's apostolic doctrine. So the principles that they speak of becomes the doctrine that they learnt when they were with Christ, except Paul didn't learn it when he was with Christ. He learnt it from Christ. Amen? Because Paul came after the disciples, after Jesus has ascended, should say. So let's go to Romans 1, and I hope you've got your pencils and your. And this is, all I'm doing is giving you an introductory lesson this morning of the resurrection, and you might have a load of questions of which I don't have all the answers. But my resident theologian here, Phil, He's got all the answers because he's got Mr. Google. Romans 1, 3, and he says, regarding his son who was, to his human nature, was a descendant of David. Now, we're talking about the lineage. And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the Son of God. By his resurrection from the dead. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him, for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So we see the apostles had a doctrine. And that doctrine, that license that they carried was the resurrection. The fact that Jesus was resurrected gave them a license to go and preach the gospel and to go and bring the unsaved from amongst the Gentiles and even from the Jews. Amen? That was the goal. Clear sign. The resurrection. Do we see this? So, now let's think about this. Jesus, this resurrection, Jesus had been tried in two earthly courts. What were those two earthly courts? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, the Jewish council. They did not believe who he was. They did not believe his claims to be the Son of God. They refuted everything about his resurrection. And then we had Pontius Pilate. So he'd been tried by two human courts and found guilty. But he wasn't guilty, but they tried him and found him guilty. And all that was so that prophecy would be fulfilled. Amen? Not that he was guilty. It's just that this was the plan of God to lead him to the cross. Amen? Now, by these courts then prevented the stone from being rolled away. They put a seal on it so no one could open up the grave because they didn't want anybody stealing the body and saying he was alive. Because they didn't agree with it and they didn't believe him. So it's like, Phil and Ralph, stand guard over this all night. No one gets in, no one gets out. Right? Now you know those Roman guards would have been killed. Because they fell asleep on night watch. So the courts prevented him from opening the court, from opening the stone. Well, the third day, God says, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to intervene and I'm going to do a mighty work from inside the cave, the grave. And he's going to come from without. And what he's going to do is going to roll the stone away. I'm going to break the seal. I'm going to roll the stone away. I'm going to paralyze Jimmy and Bert on the left-hand side, guarding the tomb. And he's going to walk out. And he's going to appear to other people. They could not hold him down. Death could not hold him down. And the courts could not hold him down. You think, well, okay. So this means that God reversed the sentence of death. God has reversed the sentence of death because he rose again. Had he stayed in that tomb, we would not be sat here. So he reverses the sentence of death. He breaks the seal off the tomb. He appears and breaks forth. So when the disciples come the next day, they see an empty tomb. And you can imagine those Roman soldiers thinking, oh my Lord goodness, we're in for it now. Yeah? So by God breaking the seal, by God doing an intervening from the inside, he was giving man the opportunity to receive forgiveness for his sin. Do you understand this? Man is now given the opportunity to receive forgiveness for his sin. Man is now given the opportunity to be justified by faith. The greatest opportunity now, when Jesus says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and he didn't come in the world to condemn it, but through him, the world will have life. Now the world is given that opportunity because death has now been overcome. He's now risen, he's now broke through. So that's the first resurrection. You see this? This is the resurrection. But this is not the only resurrection in Scripture. There are other resurrections. And resurrections come in phases. So I'm going to show you them today. Because I want you to have hope. It's a divine opportunity for you to become the true sons of God. And the true daughters of God. To those who received him, he gave them the right to become. Why did he give them the right? Because the resurrection gives him the right. That resurrection now is a license to that overcame death. Whatever the resurrection power is shown, death has to give it up. Do you understand that? So, Romans 10:9. Then he says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, watch this, and believe in your heart. What? Don't stop there. He didn't say, believe in your heart God exists. That's not what he says. He says, here's the road into the resurrection power. If you confess with your mouth, one step. Jesus is Lord, right? Number two, believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Confession and belief in the resurrection are tied together. They're not separate. He didn't say just believe God exists. Didn't believe Jesus exists. He said, if you confess and you believe that God raised him from the dead. That's the first entrance, T's and C's, into the resurrection power. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. But what you're going to believe and what you're going to confess is going to make the difference. This is why it's Word 101. Some people confess a lot of things. Some people believe a lot of things. But it's not necessarily linked to resurrected power. Come on. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, of which I've been reading. Now, we've got to remember that this is an apostolic fundamental that gives the apostolic license to go and preach the full gospel of the kingdom. Not just a message of salvation. The full message of the kingdom. Coming to Jesus, you know, repent, believe, and coming to Jesus is the start. But then there's a message beyond salvation. There is a kingdom, there are domains, there is resurrection power. There's all these things, the principles of God. All these things have to be imparted into you through apostolic teaching. So getting saved is great, but then what? That's like qualifying to be whatever you qualify for, and then you never practice it. So I've got a certificate. I got a certificate that says I can do it. Many of us have got a certificate. I'm saved. But that's all it is. I'm saved. But what do you do with it? But I've got a certificate. It's on my wall at home. A certificate's not going to help you. Amen? You've been certified. You've been drafted in. Yes? So 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, we're reading things have been said before, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Our preaching is useless. So what's the point of being in a church that if they don't practice half of this stuff, it's useless being there? Can you imagine being on your PC and having all that technology on your PC and you just use it for an email? Oh, but that's what you do. I need the fastest, the most slickest piece of machinery there is. But you only send emails. But I need it. And I need the fastest hard drive processor. Because what? Because I just might need it. But you have it, but you never use it. And that's so indicative of so many Christians. You have been given all the Calvary software package, and all you do is use Sunday church. So, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses. You telling someone Jesus rose from the dead and he defeated death, and you don't go and pray for somebody who's dying. Can you not see that's a contradiction? Oh, I have this faith and Jesus overcame the grave and the, you know, the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Well, go and pray for the sick. Well, I can't do that. I might look a numpty. I might look embarrassed. Meanwhile, the person dies. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. Yeah? But he did not raise him, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. So now he's talking about the dead. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the dead. There's more people involved because of the resurrection. It's not now not just down to Jesus. What Jesus' resurrection has done has now opened up the pathway for others to be involved. Can you see this? For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Wow. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. You can see the consequences of the resurrection not being true. If only for this we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now this is, you read 1 Corinthians, and he gives a whole chapter just to the resurrection. Now when the writer gives a whole chapter, I kind of get the feeling it's important. It becomes a launching point for everything else he's saying. We've got to get 101 things in the right box. Because if we don't get the things in the right box, we can't move on to 102 and 103. Because if a demon stands in front of you, what are you going to say? We're going to take him back to the resurrection. We're going to stand on the resurrection and the power that death has been defeated. Strongholds have been defeated. Devils have been defeated. I'm going to bring the deliverer in from the resurrection. Because it's the resurrected Christ who's alive in me that drives them lot out. So we have to know that when you're standing and you're moving in deliverance, the resurrection is the standing point. Devil knows he. The devils know that he's resurrected. They just don't know you know. And they work on your fear. So when we look at the resurrection, we must understand that there are distinct phases that appertain to the resurrection. We see Jesus, first of all, had to be the resurrection. And Jesus being the resurrection opens up the door for other resurrections throughout Scripture to take place. I'm not talking about being raised from the dead now. So, someone dies in here, we pray, we raise him back from the dead. That's not a resurrection. That's called being raised from the dead. Right? A resurrection is quite something quite different. So, there's a distinction between the dead. Scripture makes a difference between the dead. What are the dead? Well, they're not all in church. There are those who are physically dead, but have no mark of sin within them. So we're dead to sin and alive to Christ. So I look at Lisa, she's dead. But dead to what? Sin. She's dead to sin. She's not dead, she's alive. And then we look at those who are dead, who've got the mark of and the wages of sin and disobedience on their lives. Are you following me? Okay, I know we changed tack a little bit, but follow me. So there's the dead who are alive, and they're alive because they've no longer got the mark of sin and death on them. The sentence of death is no longer on them because of Christ. And there are those who are dead who have got the sentence of death and judgment on them because they didn't accept Jesus Christ. Hello? You're in now. Good, amen. I can take you to the rest of the journey. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see by the time we finish here that resurrection is plastered all the way through Scripture. It's that important. Please, please, please don't just think the resurrection is something that Jesus did and the Bible says no more. It has a lot to say about what Jesus did. And then has more to say about what he did. And the ramifications of that. The consequences of that. The glorification of that. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 2. And he starts off with what I've just said. As for you. Now just stop there, pause for a second. Who's the you? You, who's reading it? Now when he's writing it, he's speaking to the people he's writing to, knowing full well that we will also be the recipients of his letters. So he's speaking to us. So let's pick this letter up and read it as if Paul is personally writing to us, because he is, through the Holy Spirit. As for you, Dave Tilbrook, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You're dead. You're dead, as they say in Scotland. You're dead. You're going. There's a place for you. You're dead. Let's intervene. In which you used to live when you followed the ways. There was a life you used to live. There was a path you used to follow. There was a language you used. There was an attitude you had. There was a behavior you adopted. But that was the past. Well, for some of us, it's the past. He said you used to do that, so you were dead. You were marked as dead. Watch this. When you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now, who is he? The Spirit, he says. Not the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So there's a Spirit at work in the lives of unsaved, disobedient, reckless people. But there's also a Spirit alive in the hearts of God's people. The Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's two spirits at work. Now watch this. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. We had a pattern to our life. Is that true? Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, someone's intervened and stood in between so that the past can be cut off. So that you can have a future. God is the intermediary, stands there between God and the Father and the world. And he stands there and he still intercedes for us. So let's read that again. God, like the rest, we were objects by wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. So Jesus died a lot longer, I think between 5 and 7 BC. He died. I wasn't even born then, but he did it before I was even born. He was slain before the foundations of the world. Okay? It is by grace you have been saved. Thank goodness for grace. And God raised us up. So here we are now. We're now joint heirs in the resurrection. Amen. So now from what he's done, we're also now in that place. Can you see this? We're now grafted in by the grace of God. We are now part of his resurrection. Can you see this? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Scripture only ever talks about Christ in two forms. He's alive and he's always victorious. He's alive. and he's victorious. And we're seated with him. So what does that mean? We're alive. We're victorious. Though we worship on the earth, we're actually seated in the heavens. We're not knocking on heaven's door like Bob Dylan sang. We're actually on the inside. And we can be in two places at once. Though I'm here on the ground, I'm present with him in the spirit. We have, why? Because the resurrection power is now working within us. It's given me a spirit, and that spirit man can be in two places. Oh yeah, I'll show you that in a minute. Some of you don't believe it. I can be absent in the body. My body can still be on earth, but in my spirit can be in heaven. And if you've never experienced that, keep believing, keep pressing into worship, and you'll find at some point you'll have a divine encounter with God. Amen? The resurrection power is working. Last time I looked, it still works. It's plugged in. It can never be unplugged. It's hardwired into the mainframe, Christ himself. In fact, it's not a plug. It's hardwired. Okay. So there is a resurrection of life for the righteous, and there's a resurrection of condemnation for the wicked. Do we all understand that? Because if there's not a resurrection for the wicked, then we don't need to be saved. Because there's going to be a day when all accounts are going to be settled. And if there's no resurrection, then there is no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no judgment. And if there's no judgment, there's no Christ. And so it goes, and that's the point Corinthians is making. And he backpedals it, and he shows you the significance of our doctrine. And when we preach Christ crucified, this is the most contentious point. The resurrection is the most contentious point. So let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Let's pick up this thought: the resurrection of life for the righteous, resurrection of the dead for the condemned and the wicked. And Daniel gives us an insight into this before we see Jesus on the scene. Daniel shows us this is going to take place. You've got to read the book of Daniel. It's the key to prophetic activation. Daniel shows us so much. So Daniel chapter 12. At that time, it says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. He's talking about the future. What's going to take place on the earth? So a great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. You think COVID is a bad time. You think Brexit's been a difficult time. There's nothing like this that's going to break on the earth. And we must be ready. We must live like Christ is coming back tonight, but plan like he's not coming back for another 1,000 years. Amen? So at that time, everyone say at that time, there's a time. Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. This will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. How are they going to be delivered? Resurrection. Resurrection. The righteous will be delivered. So is your name in the book? Now, don't be walking out of here today think, well, I kind of think so. Kind of think, yeah, I don't remember signing my name in there. No, you didn't sign your name personally. It was written in that book the moment you confessed and you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And watch, not only that, then you pick up your cross and you begin to follow him. Fellowship is needed. Your response is required. You just don't respond once. You keep on responding. Okay. Now, none of that doesn't go down well with a lot of people, but there you go. This is my doctrine. Keep following Jesus. And when you think you followed, keep following more until the end. And you'll find at the end there isn't a brick wall. There's arms that say, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. But anyway, I digress. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth. Who's the multitudes that sleep in the dust of the earth? It's the dead. They're dead. Where are they? They sleep in the dust of the earth and they will awake. And they will awake. Some to everlasting life. Others to shame and everlasting contempt. Clear separation between the righteous and the wicked. Oh, we need to get back and bring back our gospel. There is a definitive point between the saved and the unsaved. Let's not just preach the gospel so sweet and candy that we forget, that we don't tell them, remind them that there is some bitter in there. This is what's going to happen if you don't trust in the Lord and follow Him. Okay. Everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who will lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Some of you are going to be stars. You're going to shine like stars. Amen? Let's pick it up, verse 20. But in fact, let's go to the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it from it, from the New Living Translation. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is, I've not even put the scripture down. Oh, sorry. I've not forgot to put the scripture down in my own. But let me read it to you anyway. You can find out where it is. Just do a Google search. Just pick up one word or say, it'll take you to the, let me read it. But in fact, sorry about that, I've not included the actual text. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Now that is a key word. He is the first of the harvest. He is the first of the harvest. He is the first fruit. Yeah. Must keep this in mind. Why? I'm glad you asked. Of all who have died, He went before us so that others could follow. He broke sin and death. He is the first fruit of the harvest that is to follow. Amen? You see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. So he's talking about Adam and Christ. Just as everyone died because they all belonged to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Now let me just stop a second and backpedal. If I ask you, Edna, I ask you, Lisa, when do you want your new life? When do you want it? Do you want it when you die or do you want it now when you receive Christ? Sorry, I can't hear you. Why? Why do you want it now? Why not just wait for your inheritance when you die? You want it all now. Why? Because there is power in that. For your life now. I can draw from it now. Why do I need to wait when it's made available now? The resurrection power is made available to you now. The power that's given to you is given to you for now. And there's a power for the coming age. And we've got to start working from the resurrection power now, today. So when we lay hands on the sick, the resurrected power is now. Hello? Some of you don't want to wait till the end? Fine. I'm going now. I'm part of the company. We're Brexiting from that idea. Or we have to wait. We're here now. Me and Phil, we'll start a revolution. You see, death came into the world through a man. Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through all other men. Just as everyone dies, because we all belong to Adam. Yes, we do. Physically, we're all part of Adam. But we're also part of Christ. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life, but there is an order to this resurrection. Oh, underline the word order. There's an order to this resurrection. There's phases. There's an order. Christ had to go first because he was the first fruit. You seen this? There's an order. Write that down, order. Underline it, order. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. So when he comes back, there's going to be another resurrection. You see this? After the end will come, then he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every rule and authority and power. And power. So we see Jesus is the first resurrection. Then he's coming back and there's going to be another resurrection. You seen this? So the first order consists of Christ and him being the first fruits. The first order. Christ had to come as the first fruits. You seen this? The sheaf. Just as Jesus as the sheaf of the first fruit was to be waved before the Lord on the day of Sabbath. It had to be waved. Why was it waved? The waving of the sheaf was an act of worship from the priest. And the triumph assurance that the harvest will come. So the priest would wave the sheaf. And it was a sign that the harvest was coming. It was an act of worship and a sign that the harvest will come. Yes. You're the harvest. Don't keep saying 3 months and 4 months. Look now, the harvest. The harvest is now. The harvest just doesn't appertain to you. Though it did appertain to you, it also appertains to those who have not yet found Christ. Yes. We cannot just be selfish and say, well, I'm in now. Blow everybody else. Look now, the harvest. The reaper draws his wages. You seen this? Second phase consists of all true believers who are found in Christ upon Jesus' return. So when he comes back, if you're in Christ, there's a resurrection for you. Stay in Christ. Word 101 to you. Stay in Christ. You know, a brother rang me, that's a word I used one in my old evangelical days. A brother rang me up. A friend of mine rang me up. I haven't heard from him for 15 years. And you know what his words was to me? Hi, Tony. Okay. I said to him, I don't owe you money, do I? I said, there's a reason why you call it. He said, no. You know what he said to me? I'm checking you're still in the faith. I said, I'm still in the faith. So he said to me, I'm checking you're still in the faith. Thank God for brothers, sisters, friends who check you're still in the faith. I'm in the faith. Are you in the faith, Ralph? Good. I know you're in the church, but you're in faith. Stay in Christ. Third phase, which is called the end. The end. This is the end where Christ's earthly reign of 1,000 years millennial. There's going to be 1,000 years millennial. And I'll let Phil teach on that. The millennium where we rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That means, guys, now do the logics here. Do the logic. Can you just think for a second? Switch brain on. That means if I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected to come back again. So that's your first resurrection. Well, it's your second resurrection because you've already been resurrected in Christ. Right? I'm coming back. Well, what about what will I wear? What will I eat? Stop thinking like that. If he can resurrect you, what are you thinking about? You're going to have a new body. You're going to live 1,000 years. Well, you're going to live a good long time. A baby will live to be 100 years, he says. So you're going to live in the millennium. Cool. 1,000 years. We can plan in 1,000 years. I wonder how many championships City could win in 1,000 years. Maybe not that many. Maybe not that many. Ollie still won't win now in 1,000 years, but anyway. And this is at the stage when God will Christ will deliver up the kingdom of God to his Father. After the millennial reign, he will offer up the kingdom to his Father of those resurrected and others who will follow later, because people will die in the millennium and people will sin in the millennium. Oh yeah. So there's not just one resurrection, there's quite a few going on. You're not the only ones. Okay? John 12:24 says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. Something has to die in order for it to produce a harvest. Jesus did that. Now if you die to your flesh, how much more will you produce? The secret to you and I producing is dying in Christ. Now, there's a message that just kind of, don't like that. Give me that self-help, fix-it Christianity nonsense. I love that. It's easier. The stuff that doesn't mean I have to change. The things that means I don't have to die. Paul says, I die daily. And I mean that, he said. He died daily because he keeps adjusting. He keeps aligning himself to the will and plans and purposes of God. Amen? That's why you die, to keep aligning yourself. So, by this, Jesus was showing us that this was the secret and this was the birthing place for the Spirit and for the ministry of reconciliation. If I die, not my will, Lord, but yours, if I die, it then opens the door and gives birth to the ministry of reconciliation. And men can be reconciled, then they can be justified. And if you're justified, you can be sanctified. All those big words you never knew were in the Bible. They're in there. There's an order. Justification. Sanctification. Reconciliation. These are all big boy words that you need to get your head round. And I do. So, it wasn't only his death and his burial that brought forth a harvest. It was his resurrection. Amen. Many people had died and been buried, but only him, only he has been resurrected. And now us, we're unstoppable. The devil can't stop us being resurrected. We've got resurrection power living on the inside of us. Isn't that cool? I think so. So a grain of wheat has to be buried in the earth. The stalk which springs up out of the out of it never bears merely one single grain, but a whole head of cluster of grains upon the one stalk. The ratio of increase then begins to kick in. Some produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It all depends how much you're willing to die to yourself, which will determine what you produce. Matthew 27, let's go there. Are you still with me? I've got more word than you've got ink in your pen. Matthew 27. You can tell some of us have been busy this week. I know you've been busy, and I've been busy. I've been in Corinthians. And the kitchen's open. All this comes just by feeding from God's word. It's only right that you get the best I can give. You know what my nickname is for Carol? Do you know what my nickname is for Carol? Affectionately, I call her Gillette. She's the best a man can get. And that's my affectionate term. I can be your Gillette. I can be the best that you're receiving today. I'm not saying the best there is. The best that I can give to you. And this word cuts a close shave. Matthew 27. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. Now we're going to go back to the resurrection and see what he achieved. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split and the temple broke open. Let's go back. The rocks, they cry out. This is what he's saying. The rocks split. Amen. Paul sang it this morning. I just can't remember the rest of the words. That's part of scripture. At this moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open. Ooh. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. A resurrection took place for the Old Testament saints when Jesus rose from the dead. That was the first collection. The first collection point when Jesus rose from the dead. He went to Abraham's bosom and he took the Old Testament saints out. He said, come on, boys. I've got a new place for us. There's a place my father has got. So when he says, I go now to prepare a place for you. Those boys were already there. I think they're the plasterers. The decorators. They're the ones who's coming over. They're the hired workforce for this new place he's got. Joking. There's no plasterers and decorators in heaven. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who have died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. See, resurrection means if I resurrect Phil and he was dead and he gets up and starts speaking to me, that's proof he's alive. If he still lies in the grave and he says, oh, he's resurrected, he's not resurrected if he's still dead. He's alive. And this resurrected body went into the city and they started talking to people. That's good resurrection 101 right there. So you imagine your grandmother knocking on the door. Can you imagine your grandmother saying, no, she's back. We spent your inheritance. You're not having it back. Can you imagine knocking on the door and you think you see your grandmother there? You go, what? Yeah, I'm just letting you know it's true. It's true. Can you imagine if some of your closest friends came back to you tonight and said, hold on to the faith, it's true. What do you think the cloud of witnesses are stood up there doing? Can you imagine how much strength it would add to your faith if you someone... This is why people want to talk to the dead. This is why people want to know their future. Don't go to the dead, go to the living Word of God. He tells you what's going on the other side. So, the Old Testament saints were delivered once and for all for death. Now, if you went and got the Old Testament saints, what about the New Testament ones? Amen? Just didn't stop with the old boys, the OLDs. Starts with the NEWs as well. We're the new. Amen? We're the new OLDs. So, let's just see this very quickly. When Jesus comes at the second coming, Five distinct things are going to happen at the second coming. One of them is I won't be preaching any longer. That's a good reason for him to come again. But no, things are going to happen. The first things will come is the bridegroom will come for the church. The bridegroom will come for his church. Amen? To receive all the true believers. In order for them to be reunited through the resurrection power. Or, so there's two ways this resurrection is going to take place. He's going to come back for those who are dead, or he'll come for those who are still alive. Yeah? And you'll be taken up with him. Amen? So an instantaneous change happens at that point. Can you imagine if you're on the earth, instantly you get a heavenly body. At that point, can you imagine ladies all walking by parading? This is what you've been missing, honey. A heavenly body. And then the fella goes, hey honey, I got one too. You get an instant heavenly body. How do I know? Watch what happened to the saints when Jesus resurrected them. What happened to the Old Testament saints? They rose and they went back into the city and they disappeared at some point. They had the same body as Jesus. They could appear and disappear. They were no longer in a natural body. They were now given a supernatural heavenly body that could allow them to stand and present themselves and then disappear back into the heavens. Now, just look in the mirror and say, yeah, I could do with a makeover. John 14:1. Now, in the scripture, we see that there was a big debate of whether the disciples had missed the resurrection. Or they missed the second coming. Jesus had come again. And the letter's written. But here in John 14:1, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. There's more than enough room. So when you see millions coming, you think, well, how big's heaven? Fear not. God's got more room. God's got more room. God's got more room. And if he says, let's build another wing, he speaks it and another wing appears. Not a problem for God creating rooms. If this were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, talking about his disciples. I'll come back for you boys, don't worry. So that you will always be with me wherever I am. That's the New Living Translation of John 14:1. So the first thing is Christ is coming back for his church. Secondly, God's going to come back for the nation of Israel, the remnant of Israel. That's spoken of in Romans 11, 26 and 27 and tons of other scriptures. I'm just giving you a foretaste. He's coming back for the remnant of Israel. There will be remnant of Israel saved. Third, he's coming to overthrow the Antichrist and Satan himself. He's coming to do that. You know, we're going to do this with him. Yeah? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. I want to show you the resurrection power. I don't want you getting out of this building today until you know you're alive. And it ain't with the sound of music. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know that what is holding him back, talking about Antichrist, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For the lawlessness is already at work. Secretly, it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. That's the Holy Ghost. He's holding back lawlessness. But you think the streets are bad now? Wait until the Holy Ghost gets out of the way and all hell lets loose. Amen? But the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. Hey, the big fella turns up, brings order again. Fourthly, so we see Christ will overthrow the Antichrist of Satan himself. Fourthly, Christ will come for the judgment of the Gentile nations. Christ will come for the judgment of the Gentile nations. Nations have to be judged. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is where the phrase sheep nations and goat nations come in. They butt against the will of God. The sheep nations, God can lead them. Pray that God makes Britain a sheep nation. Don't keep looking at other nations that are stubborn. Take care of our own. Amen? This is why Brexit was important. Now, that doesn't mean to say we're safe now. Doesn't mean to say that. We still need leadership that postures its heart like a sheep. Lead us. Okay, so, for the lawlessness is already secretly at work and will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way, then he will remain lawless and will be revealed. Matthew 5, the Son of Man comes with his glory and all the angels with him. He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There's a clear distinction. Amen. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And lastly, Christ will come for the establishment of his millennial kingdom upon the earth. That's Romans 20. Let me just get to the last bit now because I want to send you how happy. You should already be ecstatic now. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I know you like the idea of having a new body. The resurrection is going to give us a new body. How many want a new body? Absolutely. No aches and pains, no tears, no sorrow, no crying. No Greg's pasties. No pizzas. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. He does not want you to grieve. And he does not want you to not have hope. The resurrection gives us hope. Now, are we sad that we lose people who we love? Of course we are. Of course we are. But it tells us grieving only lasts for a period of time. But having no hope is far worse of a pain to live with than to lose someone who you love. Now, how much more hope is there when you know you lose somebody? This pain and grief, and we understand that. And God understands that. He set it up this way. But to know someone who you loved is going into an eternal dimension where they can never be redeemed is something different. And this is why we must keep on preaching the gospel to our own families and to those we love. Because I don't want to see spend an eternity with my father or my kids in a separate place, or my grandkids. I know hell's a bad place. That's why Jesus did everything to stop us going there. I know the resurrection is a powerful thing because he did not want death to finally have its victory over us. So I know that Jesus took very seriously what he did for us, and now he's asking us to take seriously what he did for us. Amen. So the resurrection, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like the people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, there it is again, you've got to keep that in context. Yeah? We also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So I'm going to see my old blessed mum again. Andy, you're going to see your mum again. What a joy that'll be. Hi, mum. You haven't changed a bit. No, that won't be. We're all going to have a new body. Amen? We will tell you directly for the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. Hey, hey! Or something like that. Death, move over! I don't know what he's going to say, but he's going to a commanding shout. And with the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God, first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together, see phases? Those who have died will rise from their graves. There's a bunch that's coming back with him. Those who will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds. These various resurrections taking place. Yeah? Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Word 101. So, resurrection body, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to miss a few stages out because I know my time's going. 1 Corinthians 15:35. Is this helping you? Yes. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put into the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each different kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, and one there's humans and other animals and birds and another flesh. And then he goes, so the body has to be buried into the ground. This is a key thing of resurrection. Something has to die into the ground. And there may be a time when us in this generation will die and go into that ground. Yes, we all concede that fact, can't we? The body that is resurrected undergoes a process. It undergoes a process. Now, there's a lot more to be said on this than I've got time for or even have the knowledge for. Right? There's a certain definite and obvious changes. The outward appearance changes. You've got bones. Now, all of a sudden, you're now getting flesh again, or you're getting a new heavenly body. Amen? So, let's pick it up, 1 Corinthians 15:51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. That's what he says. 1 Corinthians 15:51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. 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 For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. So I'm going to get something that's never going to die. So I'm going to be the new Bond. You only die once. Hey? You only die once. Our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? So, quickly, your body, the present body is corruptible. This body is corruptible. Flesh dies. Yeah? It's subject to corruption. It's subject to sickness. It's subject to decay, old age. The new body is not. Have you got that? Yeah. Secondly, the present body is mortal. It's subject to death. The new body will be immortal and incapable of death. Fame. I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to die. Hi. Thirdly, the present body is a body of dishonor. In Philippians 3:21, it says it's called that our lowly body, or more common phrase, would be to say the body of our humiliation. Man's present body is the result of sin and disobedience, and through the fall of human, the human body is frail, it's fragile and subject to sickness, disease and death. The resurrection body will be a beautiful body and a glorious body. Fourthly, the present body is committed to the grave in weakness, but new body will be raised up from the grave by the power of the Almighty God. And the resurrection life will be the testimony of God's omnipotence, swallowing up the power of death in the grave. In the grave. Lastly, this present body is a natural body, literally a soulish body. It's a spirit, it has a soul, it has a spirit, it has a body. The Greek word is psychios, which directly derived from the word psych. The soul means, here's a word for it, Phil. Do you know what the soul means? It's a prison. The soul is a prison trapped in a human body. Or the human body traps the soul. The body becomes a prison for the soul. A place of confinement and restriction. This is why your spirit man must rise to get you out of prison. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. No longer to be yoked again. You've got to go into that prison and defeat death in your own soul. Okay? Woo. So, I wish I had the... Have I got last week's slide on there? It doesn't matter if you can't find it. I gave you as a quote last week. And I thought I had it on these notes, but I haven't. I want you to see this morning, guys, that you are... Oh, I thought I had it. No, well, okay. I want you to see this morning that there's hope. Things can change. Things will change. He's coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. Death has already been swallowed up. Death has already been swallowed up in you. But you've got to go back into your soul and declare resurrection power. Today, I am clearing out the demons in my soul. Through the resurrection power, I'm going into my own soul and saying, we're out. We're out. We've been set free. Can you get me that up, Z, for me? Last week's statement. Last week's statement is this week's message. I sent it to, it's on the PowerPoint, it's word three, part three on the PowerPoint. It should be on the desktop. Okay, well, if you haven't got it, it doesn't matter. Let's stand to our feet, if we will, please. If you find it, great. If not, doesn't matter. How many of you believe? Oh, it's here. Oh, thanks, Phil. Last week I declared to you, I am immortal. I am infallible. I'm uniquely unique. Why am I infallible? For the resurrected life. Why am I unique? Because I have his life flowing through me. Why am I immortal? Because he's given me his life. So when you read that last week, you're thinking, what's he saying? I've just given you the message. When I give you this statement last week, I didn't have this message. And God has backed it up, saying, now here's the words to go and prove the statement. So when I sent you this email, now you have a message that backs up what we're saying. We're not just one who formulates statements. I am immortal. Have we got it? Have we found it? No? Okay, no matter. Please repeat this after me. I am immortal. So I am mortally immortal. I am fallibly infallible. I am uniquely unique. All this is due to the indestructible, imperishable seed of all of the Almighty God who lives in me. I have the Spirit of truth. I have the mind of Christ. And I have an activated God conscience that enables me to respond to the written word of God. I can respond to the inner voice of God. Respond to the will of God. And I can respond to the moving of God's Holy Spirit. I am redeemable material. Now we can say through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm a trustworthy custodian of this life-giving seed. I am a trustworthy custodian. I am fully responsible and accountable for how I water and nurture this seed. And by God's holy grace, I will do all that is required of me to encourage it to grow. Through Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I ask you, I implore you to think on these things. Write these, you've got these scriptures, get this message. The podcast now is working. Right? It's now on our website. If you go on our website, go directly to the website and you'll see it there. Right? Just DC Sermons, it's there now from now on. We've had a mix-up, mess-up, and anything begins with M. But now we've rectified it, so now it's working. So go to our website, you'll find it there. You'll get this morning's message, and you'll see me in Technicolor, I think. But think on these things. Show yourself to be a Word 101 person. Father, I commend this group of people, your people, oh God, to the Word of grace, to the Word of God, to the word of the Father. Father, I declare this house a resurrected house. A people who live by and walk by and believe in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. Father, birth this dimension into every soul in the sound of my voice. Those who are watching on live stream, those who will listen to this message through the podcast. Father, I pray, Father, that this word will become an anchoring point in the lives of your people through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. God bless you.